And we'll see him another in another time, yeah. In another life, and when we come to glory. The Lord is incredible. We had an incredible week here at the beginning of the week. We had some wonderful preaching and music and singing songs, and they were saying, well, Brother Marvin, how are you going to follow that good preaching? I said, well, if you're waiting for good preaching, you done called the wrong pastor. Come on, brother. I can hang a little bit. Brother Bill did an awesome job. How do you follow that? I'm not worried about it. I'm the pastor here. And the Lord has given me a word. Yes, sir. You want to? I've not been able to work that into this one, okay? My wife says, no, you're not going to say that, okay? Until you had to be here, okay? It did. Well, we're going to be in the book of Luke this morning. Looking at an individual, a man, whom we kind of just skim over sometimes. But it's coming from the Christmas story, right? Birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 21 through 38 this morning. And it's a lot of scripture to read, so just stay seated this morning. And let me read to you. And I want you to absorb this. Now, Simeon, he actually got it. He did. And I'll explain more about that in a moment. But for right now, let's just hear the story, a Christmas story. But this is Easter, Pastor. We're getting ready for Easter. You'll see how this all comes together. And Jesus is being presented at the temple. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, that was 40 days, by the way, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Comes out of Exodus. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It's not his last name, by the way. Jesus Christ is not his last. Christ is not his last name. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry him out for him, the custom of the law, they took him, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, wow, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. I love this. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your Messiah, the Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How much time do I have? Boy, could I preach on this? You can preach revival on this for days. Truly could. Okay. I have a note. I've got to remember this. Please help me to remember. Here's where we are. We don't know much about Simeon. We really don't. And he was a man. Some say he was a prophet. I would agree with that to some degree. But what we do know has great significance. And as I looked at this story in the scriptures over time, and we are coming up to Easter, right? 3 more Sundays. It dawned on me that to fully understand the power of the resurrection, that we must first appreciate the significance of the incarnation. Because you can't have the cross. You can't have the resurrection without the incarnation. What is the incarnation? God with us, Emmanuel.
Amen.
You cannot appreciate the resurrection until we have the baby in the arms of Simeon. We've got to get to this place. I just want us to go back there in that time and be a witness in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought this baby to Simeon. So let's take a closer look. The first thing we're going to look at is actually Simeon's spiritual state. Where was he spiritually? Well, he was a man. Bible tells us this. Just a regular person. Now, I don't know about you. Now, he wasn't a priest. He wasn't an official. He was just a man. And I'm looking at a room full of just men. And don't think because I'm a pastor, we're all the same. Deacons, we are men. Ladies, you're ladies. I'll speak about Anna a little bit because I got to tie it all in, right? But here's the deal. He was just a man. And he was in a very high spiritual character, very upright, very special, devout, righteous, earnest. He was sincere. Was sincere about what he believed. He knew God was going to send some child, some Savior, Messiah, and he was going to see him before he died. So he was waiting for consolation for Israel. He was waiting for relief because Israel was in a bind. God's people kind of always in a bind. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I love that. Now, this is the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament. Really, we are getting into the New Testament. The baby's born, but we haven't reached the New Testament until what? The resurrection, which is coming up in a few Sundays, what we celebrate and recognize. So the Holy Spirit was on him. We see that in verse 25. We see that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him in verse 26. I love how it's just progressive. The Holy Spirit was at work in Simeon's life. And the Holy Spirit had led him. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not living our lives this way, as individuals, as Christians, and as a church, we are in trouble. That tells me, if we're not living this way, we're on our own. I want to be doing everything according to the Holy Spirit. Everything. Through prayer and supplication, have the Holy Spirit lead us. Yeah, that's bold. It's the way it's supposed to be. And boy, when we go this route, it is awesome. Because God's not going to mess nothing up. That's right? I could do like Brother Bill. Huh? I don't hear nothing. Yeah. that's pretty cute. But it's true. When you're led by the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to go wrong. So he was given a specific promise from God that the Lord's Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would save us, the one who would liberate us. He said, God, you promised me that I would not die before I see this. And he says, I just believe it's because he was so faithful. Simeon was faithful. We don't know much about him, but we know a lot about him. I love Simeon. I love these little offshoot characters that are not the main characters of the Bible. But boy, when you start digging into their story, it comes alive. He was faithful. That's why he was in a wonderful spiritual state. So God is going to use him to reveal to us in a moment something of significance. That's the first thing we see is his spiritual state. The second thing we see is his secret. Simeon's spiritual secrets. You got secrets? Everybody's like, Yeah, we all got secrets. Yeah, we don't like to talk about those. Here's what's one of his secrets. Verse 30. This was a secret. Simeon let it out. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What did he have in his arms? Wow. Who is Simeon? He's so faithful and he's so full of the Spirit. He tells everybody, for my eyes have seen your salvation, God. It's here. We just need sometimes, I think, to take a step back and pause to read the Scriptures and to let it pour out on us. So salvation was revealed to Simeon that this is in a person. See, almost every religion has a salvation point. I want you to understand something. Now, hang on. I'm gonna clear it up. Almost all are found in something or some acts, works-based. There's two types of religion, truth be told, in the world. Even though somebody pointed out there's 50,000 different kinds, I said there's only two. I'm going to simplify. Either you're saved by grace through faith, or you're trying to get saved by works. Which one works?
Faith.
You can never work it. You can never work it out. You can never work for it. So but every one of them teach some kind of salvation by something. See, Christianity's salvation is in a person, and his name is Jesus. And until you know him, and until you know Jesus, I'm not sure how you get saved. Can't. You can't. There's no getting saved without Jesus. There's no way. I'm sorry. No, I don't apologize. I don't apologize for that. If it offends you, it offends you. Take it up with the Lord. That's his word. I'm just a messenger. That's good preaching, Bo. That's good preaching. Because that's the word. I'm just a messenger. So here we are. Christianity's salvation is in a person. His name is Jesus. And until you know that person by faith, you do not know salvation. Now that preaches at a crusade, by the way. You do not know salvation until you know Christ by faith. But verse 31. Now, we're in a big debate. Let me take a pause here with the Southern Baptist Convention. I've got some meetings coming up. I've been to some. I'm going to the convention. It's in Dallas this year. And I'm going to try to get as many coming with me. And I'll explain that more this evening and other times. Let me tell you something. There are some that believe that no matter what you do, you can't get saved because you're not of the elect. And I spit at the feet of those people. Because this is what the Bible says. For which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Christ is salvation for all people. For all of those who come to him through faith. There's no limited atonement. There's none of this. It's whosoever will. You'll hear me say that more and more. And I know I have the backing of this church to do that. I know I do. But there's a battle brewing. And if the devil can get in the churches, he will. And the devil can get in our convention, he will. And how does he do this? He divides. He splits up. A house divided cannot stand. But boy, when there's unity. So salvation is for everyone, right here in verse 31. See, Simeon really makes a truly comprehensive statement right here. It's truly comprehensive. See, salvation is open to all. There's no condition to omit anyone. There are some things you got to do. You got to call on his name, receive him as your Lord and Savior. And there's that one that's, wait a minute, what's that one that we got to do? We're going in this direction. What do we have to do? You can't have salvation without repentance. That's that old sin. Salvation also brings division and problems. Verse 34. I didn't make this up. This is expository preaching. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not. But here's the material. Adrian Rogers. I love Adrian Rogers. One of those things that I record on my DVR that I actually watch. Every the stuff, I need to just turn all that off. I don't watch it. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. There's some tough words. Now, it continues on. And a sword will pierce even your own soul. He's telling this to Mary, the mother. It will pierce your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Ouch! Man, I'm glad I didn't make this up. People will be mad at me. Right now, there's someone mad at Jesus. Well, it's true. Salvation will bring division. Salvation will bring problems. You see, there are specific statements that will cause a division in Israel. He says some will fall. He said others will rise. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Has it happened in the past? Is it happening today? Amen. Yes. Glory. Is it happening in our nation? Yes. It's happening in our churches, in our convention. Not everyone believes that salvation takes place the same way. That's a problem. And I've been contacted by the Louisiana Baptist Convention. They're asking if I would sign a petition or some type of statement of leadership that I'm going to be on the Ken Hemphill side. I said, you better believe it, for whosoever will. That's the Southern Baptist doctrine. That's what the Bible says. I'm sorry, am I on a soapbox right now? No? Wait, yeah, I'm getting a tap, two taps. And saw it too. This is serious. This is what divides people. This is the kind of things that we are to be in prayer about and to say, okay, enough. Because Simeon got it. Simeon got it. You see, here we are. He will cause offense. Is Jesus' teachings offensive to some people? Every time somebody knows better and does not walk down that aisle and does not profess him as Lord and Savior, that's offensive. They've taken an offense to what Jesus calls us out to do. He will cause us grief and sorrow. We're in that state right now in our convention. I'm grieved for our Southern Baptist Convention. You know, I'm grieving for some people that I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, need to repent. The Lord reveals those things at 1:30 in the morning to me. 2:00. Heavy, heavy heart, burdened heart. He reveals these things to me. And look, it's not a gift. It's not a prophecy. Nothing other than being in a spiritual state where the Lord reveals things to pastors. He will cause grief and sorrow. But there's also a significance here, a special significance that wherever Christ and salvation go, divisions will be created. Christ is still spoken against And so will you be spoken against if you are a believer and are saying, I love Jesus. Man, let a man on a construction site say, I love Jesus. I've done it. It didn't go over too good with some of the guys. You're a Jesus freak or some out of you. And he started saying some words that were not Jesus-like. I said, dude, you ain't said nothing I ain't heard. I said, but I know who saved me. I was blessed this past week to be with, and this, yeah, this is a good point to put that in right now. Talking about salvation and being offensive. There's a gentleman who's a dear friend of mine for many years. Had an industrial accident right before Christmas. Nearly died. Burly guy. Got the goatee and the shaved head, you know. Had a language that would make a sailor blush. Can't make me blush because I've been there. Did all kind of things that were not glorifying God. Loved the guy, though. Absolutely loved that guy. I made it over there Tuesday. Prayed up. Had a bunch of men pray for me in the prayer back. I said, guys, I'm going to see somebody and I'm going for a fight. When I got there, the fight was already won. He was broken. Glad to see me. We talked about his physical being, his physical body, where he was in rehab, how long he would be. And I told him, I said, where would you be had you died on that mat? With that crane, that 28,000-pound pole that fell on you. Yeah, crushed his pelvic. I told this Wednesday night, he's got more screws and metal in him than Deacon Tom Jingles has in this hardware store. I'm not kidding you. And you got some screws and some steel over there. I said that Tuesday night. I saw the x-rays. He said, Mr. Marvin, he called me Mr. Marvin. I got to get right with the Lord because I would not be in a good place had I died right that day. I said, thank you, Lord. You broke him. I got on my knees. We led him to the Lord. A couple of days later, I brought him a Bible, the Good News book. I'm going back next week. I got some deacons that are going to go after me because he's going to be in rehab for a while. And I want a team to envelop him. But the point is, what was once offensive to him no longer is. Now, I'm sad that it takes a catastrophic event. But all too often, it's what it takes. So salvation, even though there's divisions, salvation allows for a peaceful departure. Verse 29, let's back up a bit. Now, Lord, I can see him. He's got the baby in his arms. He took him in his arms and he said, I want to think Simeon raised him up. Maybe that made the mom nervous. I don't know. That might make a mom nervous. He raised a baby up. But he had him in his arms. Now, Lord, he says, you are releasing. In other words, it's time for me to go home. Your bondservant to depart in peace. He can die in peace. Why? Because of verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. See, here's the interpretation. He says, let me go, please. Please, Lord, let me go. I'm old. We don't know how old he is, but he must be old. He says, I want to go in peace. This is a statement of fact, by the way. It's not a request. He stated this as a fact. And only Christianity knows a peaceful departure. The only one. Everyone else, they're scared to death to die. Well, you should be if you don't have Jesus. And others may go peacefully, but there's no basis for that. There is no basis for, if you don't know Jesus, to go peacefully. There's just none. What do we have on the basis of Christianity? That we can go peaceably. But we must truly, quote unquote, know Christ. To grow peacefully. I wrote this down this morning at 2 o'clock. There can be joy in death when the source of life is known. there can be joy in death when the source of life is known. What did Simeon have in his arms? A baby. What was that baby? Emmanuel. He was ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even at the end yet. And we got Jesus in our heart, in our soul. Are you ready to go?
Glory.
Yeah, of course, if he calls. I'm sure there's more work to be done for us, but it's not our call. That is his call. We must never take that into our own hands either. There can be joy in death when the source of life is known. Simeon got it. Salvation is also a revealer of hearts. I'm going to have to hit hard here a little bit because I can't get around it because it was exposed to us in the scripture. See, Christ sees people. He sees actually through people and actually reveals them. See, everyone who touched Christ, has Christ touched us, has been revealed. And the gospel becomes a great revealer. And I'm going to get to this in a moment after I got some other notes. I'm about to really make Jody upset here because the notes that I have left are all scribbled all over. Jody, just hang on, buddy. Get to the third point, all right? Go ahead and click on that one. Simeon's spiritual stress. Something was in tension here. You see, he saw the enormous significance of the Christ child. And what he also saw was the cruciality, how crucial it was for salvation. And he was a devout, righteous Hebrew. But he knew what he had in his arms, and he got it. And we can't forget about Anna. Let me read for the ladies. You can relate to Anna, I'm sure. Men, too. Here we go. We can't leave her out because she's part of this story. And there was a prophetess. I read it early. Anna, the daughter of this, which is a god. There's a god in this. I haven't looked it up. She was advanced in years. She was getting up in age. She was married for 7 years, and she became a widow and was a widow at the age of 84. So for 70-somewhat years, 60-somewhat years, she was a widow. But here's what she did. What does the Bible say she did? She never left the temple. Serving how much? How often? With what? Well, there's a challenge. I throw it down. I throw that gauntlet down on the ground right here, right now in front of you. You know, we saw no salvations during revival. And I'm not going to say anything bad about that. Might be what the Lord wanted. I don't know if he wants that. Maybe the people that came were all saved. That's what I'm going to say. Everybody was here every night was saved, right? Had repented, everything good. And we prayed a lot, but could we have prayed more? There's some gaps. There were still some gaps. I'm going to hit it where it is. I just felt we could have prayed more. There could have been some fasting. There's a concept here. Day and night. And at the very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God. And continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, the hearts were touched during revival. No doubt. And truth be told, revival is not for the lost. It's not. It's for the church. Revival is to bring something back to life that which was alive. And if you're dead in your sins, you were never alive. You're being brought to life if you're dead in your sins as a lost person. So I really don't have a problem with it. I'm thankful of the hearts that were touched, and they were. And we will go from there. Now, there's a crusade coming up. That's for the lost people to attend. That's where we need to get lost people to go. Simeon saw all of this, and he kept this in tension. He was very stressed about it, Anna saw it as well. We just touched on her a little bit. But here's where we are. And I'll give you my little so what right now. See, Simeon saw. He saw this. Good joy. That salvation is in a person. And that person is Jesus the Christ. Simeon got it. He was an Old Testament Hebrew. You know, and we now know Simeon's spiritual secrets. A regular, ordinary man who had some extraordinary secrets, and in one event, Simeon let the whole world know that they would not fully understand what was happening for years to come. And some people to this day do not understand this. Thank you, Lord, that so many do. And thank you for those that spread the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, we can even make a statement that there are those in the world today that continue to deny that he was ever born, yet alone lived a sinless life, or suffered on a cross, or died a cruel death, was buried 3 days in the tomb, and rose on the third day. There's people that don't believe that. I do. How about you? I'm going to do like this. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to put both ears out. I mean, there are people that do not believe this. So the next question becomes, do you know him? Do you know him? You know, what better way to understand the power of the resurrection? But we must first appreciate the significance of the incarnation. Here's where we are. Let me give you these thoughts that I wrote down this morning. The churches today associate the servant figure with the suffering of Jesus. Correct. We understand that. We get that, and I'm okay. But Luke here, in the book of Luke, and I like this as well. Let's put this one in our little notes. He prefers to highlight those aspects of the servant's work, Jesus' work, that mean hope and salvation. And I pray that every Sunday morning, that when I give a sermon, we come to the place of realization that there is the foot of the cross, that there is salvation in Jesus, and there is hope in that salvation. Amen. And that you leave here encouraged. You leave convicted, but leave here encouraged. There's a way out. There's a way out. So here we are. Jesus will divide the nations into two. To identify with Jesus will bring bring pain, but because many will reject him. But the sword, the identification with Jesus, can have painful consequences. We can see this. See, the response to Jesus is a litmus test. God does this. Do I sense a need to depend on God and come to him to walk in light or not? Do you have a sense or a need to walk with God and to walk in light? The answer comes from the heart. That's the issue with humanity. That is the issue with some people groups and some communities. It's a heart problem. Yeah, it's a sin problem. That's just a byproduct of what? Having a heart problem. And that comes from our free will. Each person's response to Jesus, where they are before God, just as one day Jesus will reveal where everyone's heart is. I've got to go here. I didn't know if you realize this. Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. And I'll be closing out. This is where Peter is preaching to Cornelius in that area. Cornelius was a Gentile. It's when he first approaches the Gentiles, and Peter would say, man, I ain't going over there. That's against the law. Huh? Yeah. It was against the law for a Hebrew, a Jew, to associate with these kind of peoples. That's when he saw the vision. All of these animals that were forbidden were now said, okay, it's okay, Peter. You can eat from these. Isn't that awesome? And Peter's preaching. He's opening his mouth. He's saying this good news. The Gentiles hear the good news. This is one of the first times that the Gentiles hear the good news from Peter. Not the first, but one of the first. This was getting out there now. And he ordered. This is what the word says, and God ordered us to preach to the people. Preach to the people, Brother Josh. preach to the people, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. It's not just pastors and preachers. He ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly to testify, this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And of him, all the prophets bear witness through his name, the name of Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. God said Jesus is going to judge us. Because he knows who knows him. You ever thought about that? Jesus is the judge. And he knows. What does the Bible say? My sheep hear my voice. Does Jesus know your voice? Or are you holding on to that direction we were going in and have to what? Turn? But Pastor, I'm saved. I said, great. Wonderful. Then there's work to do. That's what this all leads up to. There's work to do. And the work is not for anything, to achieve anything, but because of ingratitude and in love of what he did for us. And that's what we want to be about here. That's the kind of church that I pastor. That's the only kind of church that I'm going to pastor. And that turns away from that, guess what? God will have another place for me to go. And I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife don't want to move. So y'all better get to work. And y'all are, don't get me wrong, you are. You're doing fine, but there's more work to do. Truly there is. So do you know him? See, Simeon got it. And that's what I want us to do, to start this Easter season, that we got it, that we do know him, and we want to make him known. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word with Simeon. What an interesting individual. What an interesting man. Lord, I just give you everything that I can. And I want to give you more. So, Father, give us the strength and the courage and the endurance to run that good race. And to show others the light of Christ, that salvation is through that baby that Simeon had in his arms. And Simeon could go peacefully after that. But that baby grew up, Lord. Your son grew up, and he was obedient to what you would have him do. And because of that obedience, we stand before you now, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, a light of salvation to a lost and dying world. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.